Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that you would feed your flock. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and teach us this morning. Guide us into all truth as we give this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I wanted to share with you a message entitled Spiritual Warfare and Prayer. And it's basically, spiritual warfare is in a lot of areas, but we want to kind of zero in this morning on a singular area. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 12. And I know that we're all pretty much familiar with this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This basically outlines about four different areas where there's spiritual warfare taking place. This morning, I'd really like to zero in on the area where the spiritual warfare takes place in our lives as an individual. And the scripture tells us that Satan is a ruler of darkness. And he's allowed to operate in that realm of darkness. And so we really need to recognize, first of all, what is darkness, and just understand some of the ploys that he has and uses in our lives, so that we know what to do about them. One of the things that he does with us is he influences our attitudes and brings a lot of thoughts into our minds that are really contrary to Scripture, but often we don't know that they're contrary to Scripture. I wish that I knew the Scripture the way I ought. Proverbs are my most favorite scriptures, and I keep reading them over and over again. Do you think that I can really remember Scripture and know where it's at? I don't know. I just can't seem to do it. But that's why we have to go through the Scripture day after day and to feed upon the Word, so that we know the Word and the will of God when the enemy brings something to our mind that is really contrary to the Word. Today we look at a lot of spiritual influences that come into our lives, and in the area of the world, for an example, we have what's referred to as the spirit of Antichrist. Paul said the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world today, that which is contrary to Christ. And as we listen to the media, we watch TV, we see all of the attitudes and influences of the world coming upon us, we can see that they're all contrary to Christ. They're all anti-Christ. We have another influence that's really prevalent today that comes out of the world, and it's kind of like the spirit of Jezebel. Remember Ahab desiring the vineyard that he saw out of the window from his kingdom, and he thought, I really would like to have that property. And so he tried to see that if he could purchase the property. And he said, no, this is my inheritance. I can't give it away. And so he was all dejected and was pounding on his bed and, you know, really lusting after that little piece of property when he had a whole kingdom, but he still wanted to have that little piece of property. And Jezebel said to him, hey, you know, get out of that bed and, you know, go take that property. And if you want to take it, and he said, well, I can't really do that. And she said, if you don't do it, I will. And we see that influence today. We see that in the women's liberation movement, you know, where you have to take charge, take power, do it. You know, if he doesn't do it, you can do it. And so that attitude is really prevalent, and it brings these attitudes into our lives that are contrary to the will and the way of God. We also see a spirit of what we refer to as the spirit of Babylon. That's the spirit of how you have to have these material possessions. You know, you're not successful unless you have money, possessions. You have to build your kingdom and have control of all these things. And we see the world pushing these things on us all the time. And it influences the way we think, even when we don't want it to, especially if we're not staying in the Word of God and we're not washing our mind with the washing of the Word, these influences creep in, and these attitudes and ideas that really are darkness, contrary to the Word of God, which is light. And so we have that spirit of Babylon. We also have another influence that's real strong upon us that comes out of the world. It's kind of usually referred to as the spirit of Elijah, which is talking about power. When we think about Elijah, I think of spiritual things, you know, good spiritual things. But I also think about power. Elijah had the power of God. It was so mighty. But the world has a spirit of Elijah in that having possessions and great gain and money is not enough, but you have to have power also. Power over your own life, power over other people's life. This is what the world says we need to have. Is that really contrary to the Word of God? Does God want us to have power over our own lives and power over people's lives? These influences come and they're just thrust upon us all the time. And so after a while, they get a hold of us, and they're referred to as strongholds, which we're going to look at in a moment here. A house of thoughts or attitudes that induced or influenced by the evil one. Now, this realm that the evil one operates in, the realm of darkness, is something that we can be walking in darkness. You know, I'm totally in the dark about that. You've heard that expression. I don't know anything about it. That's where we are in darkness, is where we have the lack of knowledge of God's word and his way. We can have areas of darkness in our life and not be aware of them at all. These are the areas when the evil one can work in our lives, because he dwells and he works in the area of darkness. Now, well, the way I'd like to zero in on these areas of spiritual warfare in us as an individual, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'd like to share with you verses 3, 4, and 5. And this is the area where this morning I'd really like to zero in on. I think that this is an area that's been taking place in a lot of our lives. I think all this week I had a real, I had a bummer of a week is what I had. And it seemed like everything was going wrong. And it just like, God, I really feel like I'm under attack here. And instead of doing as I ought and praying and bringing my thoughts into captivity and all, I grumbled a lot and said, oh, I don't know what these things are happening to me, God. I mean, you know, can't you do something about this? And I really wasn't doing as I ought. I really wasn't praying as I should. Now, I did eventually, with the help of the Holy Spirit, get down to it and get serious about what was taking place in my life. But I think the Lord was just preparing me to share with you this morning, because even though it's Christmas time and everything is merry and we should be filled, overflowing with joy, we aren't all the time. A lot of us are going through difficult times, through trials, tribulations, temptations, financial problems, health problems. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But we can go through these things with peace and with joy if we're abiding in the Word of God, instead of listening to the will and the way of the world. So this scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These three verses are so full that I want you to take them today. I want you to take them home with you. I want you to meditate on these scriptures this week. Take good into your Strong's Concordance, those of you that have purchased a Strong's recently, and look up some of these words and just let the Holy Spirit really elaborate on this, because these scriptures are really full and are so much food here that we need to have. So if you receive nothing this morning out of the message and the words that come from my mouth, my prayer is that these three verses will abide with you for the rest of your life, but mostly for the rest of this week, that the Holy Spirit will really speak to you about them. Now, as far as strongholds are concerned, and these imaginations and these thoughts that are placed above God's thoughts and God's ways, that we have these thought patterns or ideas that govern our lives. And speculations or imaginations is a lofty thing that's raised up against God. It's a house of thoughts. We have ideas and attitudes in our lives that are really contrary to the will of God, and we're not really sure where they came from. These are called strongholds because they keep us from our walk with the Lord. They cause us to be in defeat a lot of the time when these strongholds are at work in our lives. I think that, as I shared with the first service, that Christmas or yesterday is my spiritual birthday, and I accepted Jesus on Christmas Day 21 years ago, and makes me feel old. But anyway, I was reading Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I picked that book up about 9 o'clock in the morning, and mainly it was because people were praying for me, the wretched sinner that I was, and I started to read it, and I could not put it down, and I was really tired of the life that I had been living. I was building my own kingdoms. I was building possessions and just trying to, you know, gain power and just all the things that the world told me that I should do to be successful. And every time I'd get things built up and things would be going good and I'd be making a goodly amount of money and all, something would happen and it'd all go away and I'd just lose it all. And I got so tired of that. I just felt like, you know, I lose. I mean, every time I turn around, I lose everything. And no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I work or what I do, whether I connive or scheme or whatever, it's all for nothing. It's just, I just seem to be on the losing side here. And as I was reading this book, I found out that Jesus was the victor and his side was the winning side. And I thought, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the winning side. Now, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't love Jesus. I just knew that he was the victor. All the ancient Hebrew prophets spoke about him. And we know that we get to the end of the book here in Revelation. We know that he's the victor and he wins. And so I thought, well, hey, you know, who wouldn't want to be on the winning side? I mean, gee, that's simple. So I prayed and I invited Jesus into my heart because I wanted to be a victor. I wanted to be a winner, at least be on his side and just kind of riding on his coattails, so to speak. And so on that basis, Jesus accepted me. And he began to reveal himself to me, and I began to get to know him through his word, and I fell in love with him because he loved me so much. I found out all of the things that he had did for me and how much that he loved me. And I'm still learning how much that he loves me. But the enemy tells us that he doesn't love us. But when I found out these things, then I began to fall in love with him, and I felt I'm going to be on the winning side. And so many of us are that way, that we have this life that seems to be in defeat. And when we have Jesus, we have the victory. And so it's our thought patterns versus what the will of God says and what the Word of God says. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So those strongholds that are built up, those ideas, those attitudes that come out of the world and other places that influence us, they cause us to respond in a way that's contrary to the will of God. And so we walk in defeat rather than in victory. Now, some of the strongholds that we experience, just a few examples here. One stronghold that is really prevalent today is a stronghold of failure. As I was mentioning, I felt really like a failure. I mean, everything I tried it just fell apart. And so a lot of us feel like, well, I'm a failure. Nothing works. I'm just never going to make it. I'm just eating worms. I don't know. Maybe you've never ever felt that way, but I have, especially when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, you know. Well, The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a contrast. So the enemy brings these thoughts into our mind and tells us how, you know, what a bummer we are and what a failure we are, and that we're worth nothing and all. And we're worth everything to Christ. I mean, he gave his life for us. And so it's such a contrast. And yet these ideas and attitudes prevail in our mind. Another stronghold that is built up in our minds is, I'm just a sinner. I mean, I just can't seem to help myself, and God can't love me because I'm just a sinner. And it's just the way it is. And they seem to be convinced that God can't love them, and they can't do anything right because they're a sinner. And yet in 1 John 1:9, the scripture says, the blood of Christ cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So we're cleansed in his blood, washed in his blood, clothed in his white raiment. Whereas the Father sees us, he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He sees us without spot, without blemish, because we're clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a contrast that is. On one hand, these thoughts from the enemy can tell us how that we're just nothing but a wretched sinner. You know, we don't have a sin nature anymore after the being washed in the blood of Jesus. Now we sin, yes. We fail. We blow it sometimes. But we don't have the desire to follow after sin anymore. We're not sinners or the sin nature. We sin, yes. But we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and washed in his blood. And so what a tremendous difference. And if we could dwell in our minds on these scriptures rather than what the enemy's telling us, we can walk in victory. But so often, we don't know what the Word of God says, or we just don't take the time. And it's kind of like the enemy will start beating me down, and I'll start listening to him. And then the next thing I know, I start believing him. I go, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm just, you know. And it's amazing how subtle that he can come in into our thought patterns and really start working on us. And each one of us has an area or areas in where he knows exactly where to zero in on, because those areas are darkness. They're not illuminated with the Word of God, and he dwells in darkness, and this is the area where he works. And so he comes in those areas where we're still in darkness and speaks to us and builds up these strongholds, the bondages in our lives. Another one is a stronghold that's prevalent is fear of ridicule or just plain fear. Some of us live. We have Jesus as our Savior. We're born again and all, but we live in fear. Fear of this, fear of that. I mean, if we don't know what to be afraid about, we're afraid that we're going to be afraid. I mean, and it's in one hand, it's funny. And in another hand, it just really devastates a person's life. And they walk in defeat all the days of their life, just living in fear that something terrible is going to happen next to them or to their loved ones. Not knowing that the Word of God, what the Word of God says. Humility and forgiveness bring love, the scripture tells us. And love casts out all fear. And so we don't have to live in fear. If we humble ourselves and we abide in him, we will be filled with his love. And we will have joy. He who abides in him will be filled with joy. Jesus said, I give you my joy. And when we walk in that, we don't walk in fear. But we walk in victory instead. Now, strongholds come from basically three major areas. I've been sharing with you about the worldly views and the things that we're battered with through the media, the newspapers, the television, the radio, or just billboards or whatever it is. We're just beaten down with all of these things. Another area that we're influenced by are perceptions that are built by our growing experiences. Now, I went 35 years without Jesus, and so I had a lot of experiences, and as I look back, they were all pretty wretched. And but all of these things that happened to me, they built up perceptions and ideas in my mind. And even though that I have been given the mind of Christ and I'm a new creation in Christ, the enemy would bring these attitudes and these ideas and perceptions that I've formed over the years, and he brings them back to me, and I begin to listen to him, and I agree with him. And so we have a lot of views and perceptions that are built upon our past experiences that are not upon the Word of God, that are not, don't have anything to do with our brand new life, our being a new creation in Christ Jesus. They don't have anything to do with that. And yet we live our lives according to them. Now, I know the Holy Spirit, as we grow and He teaches us, those things fade away. But some of them seem to cling on. And those ones that hang on and keep us from a close walk with Jesus, those are the ones that the Scripture is referring to as strongholds. He wants us to cast down these imaginations or these speculations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So in other words, anything that we harbor, perceptions and attitudes we harbor in our mind that are contrary to the Word of God, the Scripture tells us we need to get rid of them so that we can walk in victory, so that we can have joy, so that we can have peace. Because a lot of us, you hear, as Pastor Jack would share, that we should be walking in victory and in peace and in joy, and you say to yourself, well, I'm not. This just doesn't seem to be happening. Having these perceptions that are contrary to the will and way of God is one of the major reasons that we don't walk in victory and have the joy that we should have. We also have a third area, that's false teachings. And this is the one that's really painful. False teachings through our school system, for our children, through the church. Many of you come from other churches, and there's doctrines, if you will, or teachings that are not in line with the Word of God, and yet they're stuck up here. And we think about things and we view things through these false ideas and false teachings. And then we don't walk in victory and we don't have joy because we have these strongholds that have been built up in our life. Areas of darkness where the Word of God, the light of God, hasn't come in to reveal what the truth really is. Romans 3:4 says, let God, in other words, His Word, be true, though every man be found a liar. And basically, we were all liars at one time. And God's Word is truth. It's the only thing that is truth, is God's Word. Now, we have a stronghold, ourself. We have a strength and a stronghold. And that stronghold is humility. Three things. Three things. It's really good, Jim. Let me see. How do I do this? Three things. Oh, golly. Humility, repentance, and a pure heart. The Word of God says, humble thyself in the sight of God, and He shall raise you up. And we all know that Scripture. We've all heard that Scripture. And we don't really pay any attention to it because we'll find ourselves praying, oh God, I just pray that You bring humility into my life. Or God, I pray that You would just humble me now that I've received all this money and I just want to be humble. The Word says, humble thyself. Now, God can humble us and He does humble us. He's done that to me many times. When I exalt myself with pride, He's faithful to cause me to fall on my face. And I'm thankful for it. It's really embarrassing and all, but I'm still thankful. But He asks us to humble ourselves. And so that's what we need to, the key we need to note. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be of a humble spirit. And we need to have an attitude of repentance. And when we blow it, we need to be quick to run to the Lord and say, oh God, I've blown it. Please forgive me. That's a humble attitude. The humble attitude brings a spirit of repentance. And we need to have a pure heart. Now, how do we have a pure heart? Scripture tells us that God gives us a brand new heart. And His new heart is pure. I remember years back in Calvary Costa Mesa. I came a little early, as some of you know that have gone there. You have to get there early to get a seat. And I was sitting there with my head in my hands and thinking, and all of a sudden I saw a kind of, I guess, you know, like a movie or a vision or something. I mean, I was awake and all. And I saw this round stone, about this big, and it was all gray and kind of wrinkled. And I thought, wow, what's that? And then I just thought, oh, you know, that's like one of those geodes, you know, those stones where they crack them open, they're hollow and have all the crystals inside them. I think they call them geodes. And so I said, wow, you know, that's really wild. And so all of a sudden, though, this stone did break open, and in the middle of it was this black, like tar, or if you drained the oil out of an old engine, it's just really grungy, black, dirty. And it was almost like there was a wisp of smoke or steam kind of going up from it. And I'm going, what's that? And God revealed to me that it was stunk. I mean, it was just this black, rotten, gooey stuff that just stunk. And I said, well, what does all this mean? And God says, that's your heart. And I'm going, oh, wow. And I think that was the day that God gave me a brand new heart, when he revealed my heart. Really grungy, and it stunk. Kind of remind me of old Pastor Romaine. That stinks. You stink. He always had expressions telling you, you stink. So we need to have a pure heart, a spirit of humility, of repentance, and a pure heart. And this is where we obtain victory, because then Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he begins to take the battle in hand. We always try to be strong in ourselves, and we always try to fight the battle ourselves. I mean, I was the type of a person that I had my own business all my life. I had to take charge. I had to do this. I had to do that. If I didn't do it, no one else was going to do it. And so I had an attitude and a stronghold in my mind that the only way to do things was that I had to do them. So stepping back and humbling myself before God and having a repentant attitude and really seeking him and letting him do the work was real hard for me to do, and it still is today. And I know a lot of you have experienced the same thing. I mean, I think, honestly, I think women have more trouble with that. I think they take charge at home, and they have to be in charge, and yet stepping back, say for an example, that God needs to do a work in your husband. I mean, how hard is it for you to step back, be humble, and a repentant attitude and say, okay, God, go ahead and work in that turkey. I mean, my husband. I mean, it's hard to do because I can do it. I've been helping the Holy Spirit here for quite a while. I really know how to do it. It's hard to step back. It's hard to let God do it. Our victory is in Jesus. James 4:6 says, submit yourselves. Let me turn to there, because when I go to quote a scripture, I'm most often wrong. And so, James 4:6. But he gives more grace, referring to previous verses, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does this mean to us? If we are filled with pride and we have an attitude like, I can do it, I know how to do this, I mean, I can handle this, and you just take charge attitude, God will resist that person. He won't function on that person's behalf. But he gives grace to the humble. He comes in like a flood when we humble ourselves before him, and he brings the victory. And then verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Be submissive to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting ourselves to God and bringing our petitions to God is resisting the devil. And believe me, when you solicit God's help on your behalf, the devil will flee. Now, if you or I take charge and say, I'm going to punch that buzzard right in the nose. You know, I'm going to punch his lights out. I know all of us have heard this at one time or another. You're going to take on the devil, you know, single-handedly. We're going to lose every time. But if we humble ourselves and let God come in and bring his grace, he'll fight the battle and we'll have the victory. And that's how he designed it. So we have the victory in Jesus. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so also are we in this world. We are to be even as Jesus was. Jesus was always submissive to his Father. I do always the will of my Father who is in heaven. I wish I could say that. But it's my desire to do always the will of my Father who is in heaven. and to be as Jesus was. For as he is, so also we are in this world. 1 John 5:18, he who is born of God keeps us and the evil one does not touch us. He can't lay a hand on us because we belong to God. And a scripture that I've hung on to for years because I have a hard time memorizing scriptures and all, but 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And when I come under it, for whatever it is, I know that he who dwells within me, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that's in the world, and the victory will always be mine in Christ Jesus. And it really gives me a lot of peace and assurance. And if we don't know these scriptures, if we can't stand in these scriptures, if we have a different perception in our mind on how these things work, we're going to be defeated. We're going to be mouths turned down, and we're going to have no joy. We're going to have no peace. But Christ has brought the victory. He's also brought to us authority. And authority has been given to the church. It's in Matthew 16:18-19. I think I need to turn there also. It talks about giving authority to the church. Now, who is the church? Well, we're the church. The church dwells. Each one of us is the church, for the Holy Spirit dwells in us, at his abiding place. Matthew 16:18-19 says, and I say unto thee, Peter, thou art the rock, and upon this, Peter's that little stone, and upon this rock, you can see it, you need to picture Jesus going like this, and upon this rock, this big stone, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the part I like. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Also, verse 19, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Keys, representing the authority. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In the Greek, it refers to whatsoever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. It's already been done. The victory has already been established. But I want you, my people, to do as I did when I was here on earth, Jesus said. And I want you to take that authority that I've given unto you. So whatsoever will be bound in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever will be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have authority that we need to take. And how do we take that authority? We take it by praying, by speaking forth the word and the will of God. I think of the centurion that his son was ill, and he came to Jesus along the road, and he said, my son is sick, and I want you to pray for him, and I know that all you have to do is say the word, and he'll be healed. And Jesus was just amazed. I mean, here's this Gentile, this Roman, and he has more faith than, you know, all of Israel. And Jesus said, you know, you have more faith than all of Israel. And he was just amazed at the faith of this man. But this man was familiar with authority. He was under authority, and he was over others and gave commands and authority. And he said, I know all you have to do is speak forth the word. And of course, we know as the story went, sure enough, when he went back home, his son had been healed, and he discovered that at the very same time that Jesus had spoke forth his word, his son had received healing. But he knew that would take place, and he was familiar with authority. A lot of us aren't familiar with authority, but we do have authority in Christ to pray and to speak forth his words. So authority is a good part of this prayer. And we need to look at Jesus. Jesus was a great example in taking authority. When he was going across, they were going across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up, and the ship was tossing and turning, and it was probably Thomas that doubted that they were going to make it across, since he seemed to doubt everything. He said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish here? So Jesus awoke, and what did he do? He subdued the storm with his authority in perfect peace. He took authority over it. That's what we need to do. We can take authority by praying according to the will of God in the situations in our life. The problem is we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know what the will of God is. What does that mean to you and I? That means that we have to be in our Bible each and every day, feeding upon the Word of God, that we can become strong and we'll know how to pray according to the will of God. Now, Satan robs us of our peace with fear and doubt, self-pity, and all these different things, and he steals our joy and he steals our victory. But it doesn't have to be so. For we do have the victory, and the second part of this message this morning is prayer. We have the spiritual warfare. We have these strongholds that have been built up in our lives, that each one of us has certain areas that are still in darkness that only the Word of God can bring light unto. And if we are in the Word of God, it will reveal the truth and reveal these areas of darkness. But the second part of this message is that we need to take that authority and we need to overcome these things through prayer. There's some real neat scriptures about overcoming that I wanted to share with you. And 1 Corinthians 6, 2, and 3. Let's take a look at that real quick. And it talks about overcoming. 1 Corinthians 6, 2, and 3. Let's see. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Those that are of us that are in Malachi study are familiar with this scripture. Don't you know that verse 3, that we shall judge angels? And how much more the things that go on in our lives. So we need to come to the Lord in prayer and judging these things that take place in our lives. And we can overcome that way. Now let's turn to Revelation, because these are the ones that I really just get excited over. In Revelation 2:26, in the letters to the church, it says, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations." Now, if those of us that have desired to have power, if we wait upon him, he'll give it to us. The scripture tells us we'll wind up judging angels. We'll have power over the nations. And in Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Again, Jesus is giving us an example and saying, I want you to do as I did when I was here. I want you to take that authority. I want you to overcome, and you do it through my word. And he says that we'll be able to sit with him in his throne. Now, it's hard for me to imagine that. I mean, I just get excited in here, though. I mean, just to think. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, but it's going to be awfully exciting. And so he has these promises for us that we need to grab a hold of so that we can have the victory in prayer. Now, prayer's not something to persuade God or to influence him or even to assist him. Great men of prayer all know that prayer accomplishes God's will here on earth, like E.M. Bounds and Torrey and Gordon and Andrew Murray, great men of prayer. And they all had one thing in common. They all knew that if they prayed according to the will of God, things got done. That prayer accomplishes God's will here on earth. Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And they had the right perception here. That's another influence that we get from the world and from the evil one, is our perception of really what prayer is and how it's to be used. But God initiates prayer that's according to his will. And he seeks out for those whose heart is toward him, whom he can lay his petition upon, those who will cooperate with him by voicing his purpose and his desire. You need to think about that for a minute. In fact, I need to think about it every day, because I don't do all that well with prayer. Prayer and the prayer ministry is just such an awesome and powerful ministry. And those that are in the prayer room right this very moment praying, I esteem them so much greater than myself, and rightly I should. I just, when it comes to prayer, I have a difficult time, and I know a lot of us do. But it brings us the victory, And it brings us the peace and it brings us the joy that God wants us to have. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. As Pastor Jack would say, even more than you do. He wants us to have that. Prayer also is our training to be overcomers, to rule and reign with Him. We are going to rule and reign with Him, as His Word says. We are going to rule over the nations. I don't understand that and how that's going to take place. But I'm excited about that too. Maybe each and every one of us during the millennium will have an area where we'll teach people the will and the way of God. I don't know. But we're not going to sit idly by. I'm sure of that. Prayer isn't overcoming reluctance with God. It's not persuading Him to do something that He's unwilling to do. We need to remember that also, because I think most of my prayers were that type of a prayer when I first got saved. It's binding on earth that which has already been bound in heaven. It's bringing forth His decisions and enforcing His will here on earth. Prayer really is spiritual warfare. Indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, those precepts, those attitudes, those ideas that we have that are in our minds, that are placed there by the world, by circumstances throughout our life, we pray, Father, that You would bring light to these things, that You would cleanse us with Your Word and illumine our path with Your Word, that we would know that which is Your will, that we might walk in joy instead of in fear, that we might walk in victory instead of defeat. And so, Father, we just pray today that You would help us with it. Holy Spirit, come and guide us into all truth and teach us all those things that are of our Father. We thank You, Lord. And while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there might be someone here today that this message is pricked their heart, spoken to their heart, that are tired of being on the losing side, so to speak, where everything seems to fall apart and to fail, that would like to ask Jesus to come into their heart, that You might dwell with the victor for eternity. If you'd like to accept Jesus as your Savior, I'd like for you, if you would, to just slip your hand up briefly and there'll be someone in a prayer room that was willing to pray with you. So don't delay. Give your life to the Lord today. If you haven't done it already, submit yourself to Him, because He gives you the victory in this life. The only victory that is available is through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Father, we submit ourselves to You, and we humble ourselves before You, and we ask that Your will be done in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And I just pray that You just go with each one of my brothers and sisters today to guide them and direct them and empower them for Your service to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His name we pray. Amen. God bless you.